Well, it's my pleasure to introduce our speaker today. This morning, he spoke words into me during first service, and I'm sure he will to you this morning as well. Mike Richardson comes. He's a lot of things. He is, I just found out this morning, a really good speaker, so thanks for that. He is a postman.
Yes.
So, yes. He is Jordan's dad.
Yes.
Yes. I'm just really encouraged for what he has to share. So, Mike, if you come up, I'll pray over you, and we'll get going. He also wears a tie, apparently, when he preaches.
Well, when in Rome, but evidently this isn't Rome.
No, this is not Rome. No Rome here.
Okay.
All right. God, thanks. Thank you for Mike. Thank you for the words that he spoke during first service, God. And I look forward to what you have to say through him during this service, God. Father, I invite the Holy Spirit to come in here and to speak through Mike. Speak in a mighty way into our hearts, into our lives. Father, if there are things that he doesn't have planned, but we need to hear this morning, God, speak those through him. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that we can surrender to him. And we do that over these next moments as we look into your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate that. You know, Troy was saying, I hope he speaks something into my life this time. I was like, well, buddy, it's the same message as the first time. So don't be too disappointed on that, but that's okay. Well, first of all, man, thank you. Hi, people. Oh, you guys are a lot better. The first service people, they just, I like, good morning, crickets. You know, like, come on, you know who I am. I mean, you should know who I am. Okay, I mean, let me just see, is this going to work? Let me look here. Seth? Where's Seth? Seth is in his cage. This is not showing the right, there we go. Does that work? See, we're old school down at the place. We got the remote that has the cord hooked to it and stuff, you know, and we got the Wi-Fi hooked up, and this is really awesome. Okay, first of all, let me just say this. Thank you on behalf of Carter and Doc and myself and really all the people at the place. Thank you for allowing us to come up here and share your pulpit. I know you're going through some transition, going through a lot of change. It's difficult to find a pastor, you know, to replace. It's difficult, I get that. You know, while you're going through that search and stuff, you still got to pay the bills. You still got to have church. You still got to find somebody to come up here and fill this space. And that's hard. There's a lot of moving parts. And so thank you for allowing us to put enough trust in us here to come up here. I wouldn't have invited me, but you guys did. And so I appreciate the fact that you allow us to come up here. It says a lot about your church and ours. Because we're really one body. The fact that you would allow us to come up here and the fact that we even wanted to, you know, I mean, that's amazing. Most churches are in competition, but I always say, man, we're in competition with the devil, man. We ain't in competition with the church on the hill. You guys got us beat. We know there's no competition there. We're not even trying, you know. It's like we're like the Cubs. They won. Just saying. Anyway. Hey, let me just tell you something about coming up, something that's coming up. I think Doc and Carter were supposed to mention this, but those dogs just can't find good volunteers anymore, can you? Anyway, we got a marriage seminar. We believe that it's important to throw resources and time and invest in our marriages. A lot of them are hurting. A lot of them are broke. The world just stretches us thin. We're hosting this, but we're not putting it on. We've hired an outside firm called 12 Stones Ministries. Listen, I invite you to seriously think about it. We want to not just invite you, we want to partner with you on this. And I don't know who we got to speak with to make that happen, but please consider about coming. It's Friday evening and most of the day Saturday. Let's say, and come to part of, if you can't come to Saturday, come to Friday night. If you can't come Friday night, come part of the time Saturday. I think it's important. Our marriages need tweaked. They're going to be stretched. They're stretched now. And whoever gets elected is going to stretch them even farther, you know. And so I left that pretty neutral. I can see that. For I said something in the first service, and I promise you the temperature dropped 15 degrees in the room. So I'm not making that same mistake again. But anyway, I invite you to think about that. C.S. Lewis had this saying. He had this quote, expectations are everything. Expectations are everything. So if we were just outside a normal room, or even this room for that matter, and I said, now look, folks, before we walk in here, I just want to let you know that we're walking into a honeymoon suite. And so then we walk in, you go, what a piece of junk. I mean, this ain't no honeymoon suite. You know, I was like, it should be really disappointed. Now, go back out, same room, and this time I say, now listen, folks, before we walk in here, I just want you to know that we're entering into a jail cell. And then you walk in, you go, pretty nice. Didn't know jail cells were this nice. Pretty good. See, it all depends on what your expectations are. So I guess, essentially, what I'm trying to do is kind of lower your expectations on this message. If I tell you it's not going to be very good, you know, then maybe you won't be disappointed. You know, there was some brother from the first service. He goes, you did fine. I was going for stellar, you know, but I did fine. Like, okay, you know, that's it is what it is. And I thought, buddy, I'll never be back here, that's for sure. Anyway, my wife sent me out to get a ham the other day, and so I brought it home. And she says, did you cut the end of it off? You never told me to cut the... Oh, we always cut the end of the ham off. I said, okay, but why? Because my mama did. Okay, so I called up mama and I said, hey, listen, when you buy a ham, do you always cut the end of the... Oh, we always cut the end of the ham off. Well, why? Because my mama cut the end of the ham off. All right, so we got a three-generational mystery going on here, so I thought, well, I'll just call grandma. Grandma, when you buy a ham, do you cut the end of the ham? Oh, yes, you always cut the end of the ham off when you buy it. Well, why? Because my roasting pan's little. Well, now, see, she had a reason. At least she had a reason, right? What's your reason for being here today? Because it's Sunday, it's 11 o'clock, and that's what you do. What's your expectation level? Do you really believe that God's going to do anything here today, or is it just something we do because this is what we do? Was there any expectation at all? So for the next few moments, I want to try to raise that expectation level just a pinch and maybe give you a reason more than just because it's 11 o'clock. Let me tell you something. When we first were asked by Troy and Kevin if we, you know, could come and fill in some space, the first thing was, well, can we do this? Do we want to do this? You know, we like to look at the calendar, make sure nobody was on vacation, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, we can make this happen. We all agreed that we just didn't want to come up here and tread water, because I know they're going to have enough people that are just going to be coming up here to fill the space because they've been asked, and I understand all that. But we wanted to do more than that. So I said, you know what, let's think about this, come back in 3 days, let's have another meeting. So first service, I said, well, coming around the corner down on the road down here, and Troy's going... And I said, we come down on the road over here down the corner, because I'm all twisted around, but I guess wherever your sign is, down over here someplace. So I'm driving around, like, I look up at this sign that says, let us help you take your next step with God, in your relationship with God. I thought, oh, what? You guys even know you got a sign down on the corner there? People are going, what sign is he talking about? You know you got a sign down on the... Do we need to take a field trip, people? I mean, we know you got a sign down there on the corner. And let us take your next step. I thought, that's it. So I pulled into the place and I said, guys, I got an idea. I said, there's a sign down on the hill around the corner, and Doc grabs his phone. He goes, you mean that sign? He just took a picture of it. So I said, let's step up, step back. And Carter says, I want you to look at the title of my message. Step up and worship. So before we even got started, I think God was laying this on our hearts. So again, I think it's not just we'll come up here treading water. We hope that we're trying to bless you over these last few weeks. And I hope that Carter and Doc did that. So just quickly, you know, Carter talked about stepping up in your worship. Listen, when things are, the life comes in, the world's throwing stuff at you, it's hard sometimes. I get it. When problems come, the first thing that usually goes is I don't have time for God. So you lay down your Bible, you lay down your worship, you don't show up at church, all the stuff. We need to step that up. Not only in your worship here, collective worship, but your lifestyle. Step up your lifestyle worship. Doc talked about stepping over. When circumstances come your way, it's a lot easier just to just get knocked down on, but you need to step over. When changes come and your church is going through change, I get that. Learn to step over these circumstances. Don't allow circumstances to dictate your reaction and your response. Today I want to talk about stepping back. I want to step back from how you're living your life and see how you should live your life. Step back from life and how you should live your life. So many people want to teach their children how to make a living, and that's important because they want them out of their house, right, Tim? You want to get them on down the road. You teach them how to make a living, but oftentimes, especially in this nation, we forget to teach them how to make a life. And invariably, more people will spend more time, more money, more resources on planning their wedding than they do planning their marriage. And I think if we spent more time planning out our marriages, they wouldn't end up in 50% divorce rate, not only in the world, but in the church as well. So we need to step back, take a collective breath. I noticed that you moved this stool because I about tripped over it earlier. So you're a good man, buddy. This guy is on top of that. Yeah, there was this stool right here, and so I kept, and then I about tripped over it. See how quickly I can get off the bunny, squirrel? I can just get off track. Step back from your life a bit. And I know good and well, just like some of my little grandson. I don't need it. I don't need it. I don't need this. We're fine. We don't need any of this. You may not be going through something in your life that you need this. Maybe your life is just perfect. But I guarantee you there's somebody sitting next to you or in front of you that's not quite so perfect. And they might need this. So, as we're looking out over our life, there's situations that you can handle. There's problems that you can fix. There's things that you can do. There's things that's not going to blow you over. You can look at it and you can handle each one of these things. But there are some things you cannot fix. You cannot correct. And I don't know what that is for you. I don't know what that is in your life that you're just going to find yourself you're not going to be able to fix. For some, it might be relationships. You wake up, the person you're married to, it's not what you thought it was going to be. He doesn't want to get a divorce, and she doesn't want to get a divorce, but neither of them wants to change. So you find your relationship, it's not what you thought it should be. Maybe it's with your kids. Your kids are making poor decisions, poor friends. They're choosing the path that you thought maybe they could or should or would. Maybe it's your adult children. How many know when you got adult children, you worry about them more than you do when they're little? Maybe they're making bad choices. Maybe their marriage is on the rocks. When your kids go through a divorce, it's like a death that never goes away. It just eats at you. For some, maybe it's financial. You're constantly behind, constantly. You're not reaching your financial goals, your dreams, and not only that you're not reaching them, you won't. You can't. It's just not going to happen. Industry and what you learn, industries are fading away. It's not going to happen. For some, it might be your health. Went to the doctor, got bad news, man. It's not going to kill you. But you're going to have to make some major decisions. You're going to have to change some things. Welcome to the new normal. You cannot fix this one. Maybe for some, it's just life. You hate your life. You hate your job. You hate everything that's going on. You wake up and you lay in bed and you wonder if this is the day that you're not going to get up. You hate it. It's not what you thought it should be. And you find yourself in this season, what I call the double I. It is what it is. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that saying because it seems kind of arrogant and throw-offish. But sometimes that's the only phrase that fits. Am I right? It is what it is, man. It is what it is. So you find yourself, you don't know what to do. I mean, there are some solutions. There are some answers. You know what? You could run away. You could leave her. Start a new family. You could leave him. You don't want to run away. Ain't going to do any good. You know what? You could give up. I've had it. I don't want to do it anymore. My kids are making poor decisions. I'm just not going to pray for them anymore. You know what? I don't need the stress level. Come on, man. You don't want to give up. You don't want to give up on your kids. You don't want to give up. Yeah, you could drink it away. At least for a few hours a day. Wouldn't have to worry about it. That creates a whole other, another set of problems. You don't want to do that. Trust me. You don't want to do that. Or, you know what? You can step back. Push the pause button and step back. Maybe for the first time ever, You learn to ask God what He sees. Step back. Get that wide angle view of your life. Because when you got trouble, when you got problems going on, you got this very narrow focus. All you focus is on the problem. I don't know if you guys are ever in photography, but if you've got a close lens, all you see is things right here. You need a wide-angle lens. You got to step back sometimes. Step back from this. The problem with this kind of approach is that it's the other Christians we got to deal with. Now, you know who these people are. Oh, I just, God answered a prayer for me. I lost my phone. You lost your phone. I lost my new iPhone 7 the other day, and I asked God to help me find it. Of course, in your mind, you're thinking, you still got that stinking Motorola flip phone, right? And they got a brand new iPhone 7, the iOS 10, they just down. Yeah, I prayed, I lost my phone, and I asked God to help me find it. And I was sitting out on the deck, soaking in our hot tub, watching the big 80-inch LCD screen that we had installed, and I heard this little buzz and vibration, and there was my phone over there. Praise God. Right? And you just want to say, shut up! You wouldn't know what our problem was if it was hanging. See, I stopped it. Last service, my mouth leaked out in another area. It wasn't that area, because I didn't know I was going to say that, but I paused there. See, at the place, I just leak all over the place. You know, I just say whatever I want to, and because nobody cares, because nobody cares. That's what it is. Especially on this, the multimedia thing that we got going, all you see on stuff like this is people's vacation, their graduation, their new cars. Oh, I know what I said last week. I said hemorrhoid. That's what it was. Hernia. Let's change it to hernia. Because I was talking about it on Facebook and all this stuff. You know, nobody puts bad news. Nobody puts in there, I had hemorrhoid surgery. That's what I said. But we're going to change that. No one puts they had a hernia. That sounds a little better, doesn't it? See, I told you I'd never be back. That's okay. I can deal with that. It's good to have my first wife here today, too. She hates when I say that. It's my only wife. It's the only one I've had. But I saw her said, she hates when I say that. Why do I do it? I don't know. That's why we're putting the marriage seminar on next week. But here's the thing. If you knew that Jesus knew your name, that He cared, He was actually concerned about you, if you knew that, you might be okay, right? You might be able to go on. If you knew somebody in the Bible that they were going through something like you or worse, and you could prove that Jesus loved them, you might be able to go on. You might be able to get through. You might be able to. Well, let's look at this. This is Jesus talking. He said, "Behold, I send a messenger before your face who will prepare the way before you. And I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John." Now, who Jesus talking about? John the Baptist, absolutely. John the Baptist. And He's saying there is no one greater, no one born is greater than John. How would you like Jesus to say that about you? There's no one greater. Now, Flavia thinks God really says that, but I mean, by and large, most people don't think that. Love it, okay. I just saw her sitting there. I thought I might as well pick on her. If you knew that Jesus loved you, He thought, and He says He knows your name, there's no one greater than you. If you knew that, wouldn't that be awesome? It'd be awesome for Jesus to say that about you. So quickly, I don't want to get into the weeds too much on what's going on here, but John the Baptist, John the Baptizer, forerunner of Christ. Anybody that's been around church long enough know their Bible knows that's who He is. He's working that strip up and down the Jordan River, baptizing people. Repent. Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent of your sins, right? We know this. He's doing his work there. And that's all up along the Jordan River. Now, what was going on at the time? You remember Herod, King Herod, the one in like Luke chapter 2, you know, when he was killing all the babies at the Christmas story? Okay. He had a granddaughter named Herodias, all right? Herod the Great, granddaughter named Herodias. He also had two sons, Herod, this is my brother Herod, this is my other brother Herod, but he had a son named Herod, Antipas, and Philip. Now, Herodias married her uncle. She married one of Herod, her the granddaughter, married one of the king's sons. Now, honestly, Do they even allow that in Kentucky? I don't even think they do. I think that's illegal, even in Kentucky. But this was going on in Jerusalem, okay? Sick stuff. So what had happened? She, Herodias, married Philip. But Antipas was off in Rome doing his thing, whatever he had business to take care of, and she would find herself in Rome. Well, what she started did, she started hanging out with in Rome, started hanging out with the other uncle. And they started doing the nasty thing together. Next thing, they get married, and John was just saying, no, man, number one, you ought not have married your niece in the first place, but now she's married to the, your brother, you ought not to be doing this. It's just sick and twisted. Sick. No tabloids at the time, just John telling everybody how awful it is. In any culture, that's awful, especially in the Jewish culture, that would just be forbidden. So he's putting all this stuff on ye old Facebook out there, all stuff about, you know, King Herod and all this stuff like that. Got him in trouble. Again, like I said in the first service, kind of makes you think twice about putting something about Trump on Facebook, doesn't it? Oh, I was supposed to say Clinton, wasn't it? I said Trump in the first place. Something about Clinton on Facebook. See, again, the temperature's dropping. I can feel it. I know what it lies. I'm not afraid of this stuff. Well, maybe just a little. But anyway, I digress. So anyway, he was thrown in jail. You get a lot more liberty on the second service, don't you? You just kind of, yeah, who cares about the clock? We're gonna, no, anyway, I'll just go on with this. Okay. This is Jesus again talking. He says, now when he heard John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now, honestly, that doesn't mean anything to us, because we don't have any geographical knowledge. It's, oh, Jesus went and lived in Capernaum. Okay, that's cool. Now, I don't know if you've ever had anybody that you loved put in jail, put in prison, but the first, when you do, the first thing that happens is you go there. You try to figure out who you can plead with, how much bail money you're going to need. You're going to try to, and you go there to comfort them, make sure they know it's okay, and you do everything you can to try to plead the case. And you think when Jesus heard that his friend, his cousin, John, was in jail, that he would go try to plead his case. But the Bible says he went and lived in Capernaum. It's like, well, we just read over that. Well, so what? But if you look at a map here, and this is a map of Israel here, you can see down at the bottom, you got the Salt Sea, and up at the top, you got the Sea of Galilee, and I don't know how well you can see it. I'm going to blow it up here in a minute. But right, so right there where this arrow is where John's working that Jordan River. And you can see over there, the red circle has got Jerusalem, and you can see where Jesus went to Bethany a couple times. But over in that other part there, in that blue circle down the bottom, you see Macarius. And this is where John was sent. After Herodias said, you know what, I want this John character in jail. I'm sick of him talking about my, you know, my personal life here in the political scene. So they had him put in Macarius. That's the farthest southern eastern part of the region. It's a dungeon. It's a fortress. This is where Herod's fortress was. So John was put down in there. And where did Jesus go? Capernaum. All the way at the top. All the way at the top. Have you ever felt this way? Life comes at you, problems come this way, so you think, well, maybe I will, maybe I'll try this God thing. Maybe I'll try to seek God. And it feels like God moved in the total opposite direction, doesn't it? You'd think that Jesus would want to move closer to John. Closer. Bake me a cake. Do something. But he went totally the opposite direction. In fact, here's the top of Macarius. This is what it looks like today. You can see the remains of the fortress and all of what it was. And this is what it looks like from the side of it. You can still go there. Well, I wouldn't. But you could with guns and guides. You could probably make it. But that's what it looks like. So this is the view that John the Baptist had. John, when he looks out of his prison cell, this is what John sees out over the desert. This is what Jesus sees. He's at the beach. This is what it looks like at Capernaum. It's beautiful. Honestly, let's be honest. Haven't you felt that way sometimes? God's gone the total opposite. He's absent. He's silent. Might even be angry. I don't know. But we felt that way, don't we? Try to earn God, do all these things to try to earn his grace back, whatever. So we read the scripture, and it looks like, you know, John was cast into prison, and about 30 minutes later, Jesus decided to move to Capernaum, and then maybe an hour and a half later, John's asking these questions. Could we read it just boom, 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 chapter, chapter, chapter? Remember, this stretches out a whole bunch of time. And at bare minimum, scholars believe that John was in jail 1 year when he made the next statement he's going to do. Some think he was longer, closer to 18 months. But we know that John was in prison in this Macarius place for at least a year, minimum. A minimum. And this is what he said here. He said, when Jesus finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on there to teach and preach in the cities. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who's to come, or shall we look for another? So John's in jail for a year. And his disciples were still coming there to Macarius, because in those prisons there, if you didn't have somebody bring you any food, you weren't eating. So his disciples were still coming. John's disciples were still coming to him. So a year later, he's thinking, you know, an hour goes by, a day goes by, you think Jesus is coming. A week goes by, well, he's having trouble. Month goes by, you think, I wonder what's going on. A year goes by, now you're starting to question. So John hears all the deeds that's going on, and so he says, hey, listen, guys, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to find where Jesus is. I heard that he's in Capernaum. I want you to go ask him. Are you the one? Are you the one? And Jesus says, you go tell John what you hear and see. He says, you go tell John, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the good news preached to him. You go tell John what I'm doing for everybody else. And that's where we are. The way the world's coming down on us, the problems are coming down on us. We pray, seek God. It feels like he's gone in the other direction. And we look around, we see everything else that God's seemingly doing for everybody else, but not me. And I'm sitting here in jail. Jesus knew John's name, and he loved him. So the guys are getting ready to go back and tell John what Jesus said. And he says, hey, listen, tell him one more thing. Blessed is he who's not offended because of me. Blessed is he who doesn't give up when it looks like I'm absent or I'm silent or away. Blessed is he who's not offended. You go tell John that. Then they start to walk away. And this is the whole, if you go on and read it, I don't have it up here, but you read it. He says, what did you come out to see? Reeds shaking in the wind. What did you come out to see? Somebody dressed up in fine clothes? I tell you, there is none greater born of woman than John the Baptist. You go tell him that. You go tell him that. All right. So I've perfectly described yours and mine life, and the seasons that we're going through. Maybe you're going through it right now, maybe you aren't. There are two kind of people out there, those who are going through it now and those who will. So what do? Let me tell you what, you step up. There's not a one of you that had to get up this morning and go find water. Go down to the creek, go buy water on the street like they do in Honduras. Or maybe you just can't find any. And unless something's wrong with your hot water heater and you decided to bathe today, not one of you didn't have a hot shower. Not a one of you. If you had a bed last night in a warm place and you've got running water in your house, you're in the top 10% of the world. Did you know that? You're rich. We got so many things that we can be thankful for. God has blessed us enormously. It's so easy to get focused on the problem. So you step it up. Step up your worship. Start worshiping God because he's worthy of it. Not for what he does for you, because of who he is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you later. You step up your worship, step up your lifestyle worship. You step over. When circumstances come your way, learn to respond, not to react. You know, when you go to the doctor, right? If you give them a medicine and come back and you say, oh my gosh, you're having a reaction. What does that mean? Bad. Right? It's bad. You have an reaction. If you're responding to the treatment, that's good. How do you respond? How do you react to what's going on in your life? Learn to step over. Don't let circumstances, this is just a snapshot in your life. Don't let circumstances roll you over. You step over those. And then step back. Take a breath. Get God's view of your life. Again, this is a small shot of your life. This is a small shot of your church. So you're going through a transition. So you're looking for a pastor. Big deal. Church has been here 100 years. You'll get through this. Don't give up. Step over this. You'll get through it. Step back. See what God's doing. Now, you can step up. You can step over. You can step back. And none of that does any good unless you step out. You've got to step out in faith and believe that God's actually going to do something. Take that. I challenge you. Take that step of faith. And I want to let's put rubber to the road, feet to the fire here. You physically step out. You physically come down here and talk with me. Let me pray for you and the elders pray for you. Oh man, if I do that, people will know I got a problem. Good. Your brothers and sisters are looking for some place to pour in their help and love to you. Good. If I step out, you know, I'll be the only one. Yeah, you might be the catalyst to get somebody else to come out here. You step up, you step over, you step back, and you step out. I'll be down here with a couple other guys. Let me pray for you. And the worship team's coming up. Let's pray collectively, shall we? Father, I thank you for this church. I thank you for these group of people, Lord, that could be a million other places this morning, but they chose to be here. Father, I pray for those especially who are in that dark, dark spot of their life right now. I pray, God, that you'll do something special for them. Raise their expectation level and their trust in you. Bless these people, Father. Help them, help them, help them, I pray, Jesus, to get through this. Let them know that you love them and you are right there. Expand your kingdom, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.